الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Please repeat after me. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah. Wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurallah. Please also repeat after me. Nawaitu sunnat al-aytikaf. My dear Islamic brothers, whenever you're blessed with an opportunity to come to the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the masjid, then always try to enter according to the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam would always enter with his right foot. He would recite the dua for entering the masjid and then he would make intention for nafli itikaf. Hence the reason I ask you to say Nawaitu Sunnat al-Itikaf. You can make this intention in any language, in English, in Urdu, in Punjabi, whatever you wish, and you can make this intention in your heart. But by making this intention for the duration that you spend in the masjid, it will be written in your record of deeds that you spent this time in nafli itikaf. May I remind you to eat, to drink, and to sleep in the masjid is forbidden. But if you make this intention, then all of these things become allowable for you, and you get the reward as well. So a small amount of effort, but a huge amount of reward. A lot of people feel that you can only do itikaf during the month of Ramadan. The last 10 days of the month of Ramadan are sunnat-e-itikaf. That the itikaf that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But nafli itikaf you can do any time during the year and you can do it for any duration. If you just come into the masjid to pick something up and go out and make this intention that I'm in the masjid for nafli itikaf, then it'll be written in your record of deeds that you spent that time in nafli itikaf. So please make an effort that whenever you enter the masjid, make this intention. There are also many blessings in reciting Durud-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, wherever you are, recite salat upon me, because your salat reaches me. Sallu ala al-habib. My dear Islam brothers, we need to make a habit of reciting Durud-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. In our lives, we waste a lot of time waiting for things to happen, waiting for our next job, waiting for a customer, waiting to see the doctor, waiting to see people. And this waiting time should never be wasted time. Utilize this time. And one of the best ways of utilizing this time is sending Durud-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. Who knows, one extra Durud-e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. My dear Islamic brothers, today inshallah, we're going to learn and listen to some Madani pearls with regards to respecting of our elders, respecting our elders. The beautiful religion of Islam, it teaches us to show affection to our youngers, to our children, to our young people. But it also teaches us to show respect to our elders, to our parents, to our elders, to those people who are higher in rank, be they teachers, be they ustads, be they even leaders. It teaches us to give respect to them. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, and I quote, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, honor and respect the elders, and have mercy upon the young ones. You will attain my company in paradise. So what a beautiful criteria that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that if you do this, you will be with me in paradise. And what is this? To respect your elders and to have mercy upon the young ones. And again, if you think about it, this is the beauty of Islam, that it teaches us to have mercy on our young ones. And it also teaches us to respect our elders as well. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also reported to have said that enlarge your gatherings. I make space for a scholar due to his knowledge. Make space for an elderly person due to his age. And make space to a ruler depending on his status. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when these people come into your gathering, then you should make space for them. For example, if you're sat at home and an elder person comes in, then you're supposed to expect you to get up and give them that space. If you're in a masjid and it's a tight gathering, then squeeze yourself up a little bit more and let the elders have a comfortable space. If the ulama-i kiram come, give them a comfortable place. This is the respect that our deen has taught us with regards to our elders. With regards to the respect of the mother, we've heard so many times The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that paradise lies at the feet of the mother. In Amir al-Sunnah's booklet, Oceanic Dome, Amir al-Sunnah narrates an incident that happened. He writes that Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami Ramatullahi ta'ala said that during a very cold night, my mother asked me to bring some water for her. My mother asked me to bring some water for her, and I went and I got the water. And by the time I'd come back, my mother had fallen asleep. Now I didn't, Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami Ramatullahi thought to himself that I don't want to wake my mother up. I don't want to disturb my mother. But what happens if my mother opens her eyes and she wants the water? So he had this conflict in his mind. What does he do? He doesn't want to wake his mother up out of respect to disturb her. He didn't want to do this. But he also remembered the command of his mother that his mother said, bring me some water. So he stood there all night. He stood there all night in front of his mother with a glass of water in his hand. And it was a very cold night. And it says that when his mother eventually woke up and she saw her son in front of her, she said to her, Beta, what are you doing? My son, what are you doing? And he said, Mother, you told me to bring some water. I'm here with this water. And it was so cold that when Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami took the water out of his hand to give to his mother, the ice had stuck his finger to the glass. It was that cold. And so when the glass was taken away from his hand, it ripped the skin off his hand and blood started coming out of his fingers. But out of respect, he stayed there. And when his mother listened to what her son had said, she lifted her hands and said, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, I am pleased with my son. Ya Allah, I beg you to also be pleased with my son as well. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. This is an example of how we should respect our parents. And if you look at this waqia, you see that Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami Ramatullahi Ta'ala, he showed respect towards his mother. He didn't feel appropriate to wake her up from her sleep. He didn't want to disturb her sleep, and he stayed there all night. But as a result of staying there all night, his mother did this dua for him. Oh Allah, I am pleased with him. You also become pleased with him. Allahu Akbar. And they said that if a mother does a dua for you, Allahu Akbar, then how lucky you are. But again, this son, the sacrifices that this son made to stay up all night to respect the wishes of his mother. Allah Azza wa Jal says to us in the Quran, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, Surah Bani Israel, Part 15, Ayat 23 and 24. And treat parents with goodness. If one of them or both of them reach old age in front of you, do not even say uff to them. Do not scold them and speak to them words of respect. And spread for them the arm of humbleness with a soft heart. And request humbly. Yaniki, do this dua. Request humbly. Oh my Lord, have mercy on them, both of them, just as they brought me up in my childhood. Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to them, don't even say uff to your parents. Don't even say uff to your parents. In the commentary of the above mentioned blessed ayat, it is stated that the blessed ayah implies that your Lord Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded you to observe a righteous behavior towards your parents with extreme kindness. Because the way your parents have done a great favor upon you, it is obligatory, it is fard upon you as well to treat them nicely in the same manner. When your parents become weak, when they lose their strength in their limbs and live with you in the last stage of the sheer weakness as you were powerless with them in your childhood, then do not even say uff to them. I do not utter any such word from your mouth that indicates them being a burden upon you. Do not rebuke them. Talk to them gracefully and politely and address them with great manners. This is the tafsir of this ayat. Nowadays when our parents ask us to do something, I'm busy. Later. I just want to do this first. I just want to do that first. I want to go here first. I haven't got time, Mum. I'll do it later on. Why are you always telling me to do this, Mum? Why can't you tell him to do it? I did it last time. It's his turn now to do it. Mum, how much money will I get if I do this? Is this the state that we've become? Think about how many times we disrespect our parents with these simple words. And then when our parents get old and get weak and they cannot do things for themselves, then we start complaining. Why don't you do it for yourself? Can't you do it yourself? And we complain that our parents have got old now and I have to do the shopping. Our parents have got weak now and I have to go and do these things. Do you not remember that time where you could not walk? Do you not remember that time where you could not sit up? Do you not remember that time where your parents, your mother cleaned
cleaned your excrement, cleaned you and washed you, fed you when you could not even lift your hand, when you could not even do this. You couldn't do this with yourself. You couldn't put your hand to your mouth, and your parents, they did it for you. When snot came out of your nose, who was it that cleaned that snot? When you were sick, who was it that cleaned it? When you wet your bed, who was it that put you on the dry part of the bed? It was your mother and your parents that did this. Allahu Akbar. In our society, and in an Islamic society, I'd say, I'm not going to say in our society, I'm going to say in an Islamic society, we put a lot of emphasis on the respect of our mothers. We put a lot of emphasis on the respect of our mothers. And so many times we've heard the hadith where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that paradise lies at the feet of your mother. But at the same time, we also need to realize the status of the father as well. The status of the father has a great status in Islam as well. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal, listen to this, please listen to this. The pleasure of Allah azza wa jal lies in the pleasure of your father. And the displeasure of Allah azza wa jal lies in the displeasure of your father. You want to please Allah azza wa jal? Please your father. Think about it. How many of us give our dues to our father? How many of us respect our fathers? How many of us, when our father calls us, Ji abaji, Ji abaji, yes dad, yes dad, or do we pretend not to hear him? We ignore him until he shouts 3, 4, 5, 6 times. And we hope that he'll disappear because I'm busy playing a game on my PlayStation, I'm busy playing a game on my phone, waiting for my dad to ask my brother or my sister to do something. And we haven't got time to respect our fathers. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, obeying your father is obeying Allah azza wa jal. Disobeying your father is disobeying Allah azza wa jal. Think about it. Think to yourself, how have I treated my father? What respect have I given to my father? What status have I given to my father? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the father is the middle door amongst the doors of paradise. If you want, you may lose it. And if you want, you may protect it. It is up to you whether you want to attain paradise. There is a saying that your parents, they are your hell, and the parents, they are your paradise. Meaning how you treat your parents, how you respect your parents. And if we think to ourselves, what time have we given our parents? A lot of youngsters in this country, they think to themselves, well, you know, our dad, our mum, they don't understand us. Why don't they understand you? Well, you know, they came from Pakistan, they came from India, they came from a village, they came from the... They don't understand the things that I am facing. They don't understand the problems that I am facing. Well, you know what? Tough. Doesn't matter. Even if your parents can't understand you, even if your parents don't understand your problems that you are facing, you still have to respect your parents. You still have to respect your parents. Doesn't matter. They don't understand you. Okay. They don't know what you're going through. Okay. They come from a different generation. Okay. They don't understand all modern society and all these electronic media and all these things. Okay, they don't understand all this. But that doesn't mean to say you can disrespect your parents. You know, they say that, you know, people have to earn my respect. Yeah. I'm not going to respect you unless you respect me. That doesn't work with your parents. That doesn't work with your parents. You must respect your parents. You must look after your parents. If you want to attain paradise, if you want to attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, then look after your parents. Sallu ala al-Habib. But it's not just our parents as well. We need to learn to respect our elders. And our elders are normally those people that are associated with our parents. Our relatives, our uncles, our aunties, our father's friends, our mother's friends, we need to respect them as well. Because this is the beauty of Islam, that Islam teaches us to respect all of our elders, to show mercy to all of our youngsters, irrespective. Be our maternal grandfathers, our paternal grandfathers. You know, this is what the Islamic society teaches us. Islamic society teaches us that not our elders, they're not a burden on us. We should never think, and unfortunately this is happening nowadays, that people think that our elders, they're a burden. I've got a dad at home. I've got an old mum at home. I'm going to have to go and look after them. And we complain about it. You don't know how lucky you are that you've got elders at home. You don't know how lucky you are that you have this possibility to look after your parents. If your parents reach an old age, or one of them reaches an old age, and you do not attain paradise, then you've wasted yourself. Because your parents at an old age is a golden opportunity for you to attain paradise. If your parents get to that old age where they need your time, then somehow, believe it or not, you've effectively won the lottery, mate. You've got a great opportunity there to attain paradise by looking after your parents. And believe you me, when your parents leave you, when they leave this dunya, then you'll regret it. Then you'll remember every single moment. Every single moment you remember that I could have given my father time. I could have given my mother time. I should have done this for my father. I should have done this for my mother. You'll remember it. But then it'd be too late. Then it'd be too late. All them times that you wasted by not respecting your elders in that time. That time that you had. Why didn't you respect them? Look after your parents, my dear Islam brothers. With regards to our elders, Islam also gives a great status to the ulama-i ikram, the scholars as well. These are people that we should look up to. These are people that we should respect. These are the people that we take for granted. We don't give them the status that they are due. It's narrated that there was a person, he considered himself a great sinner. He considered himself a great sinner and he was at the riverbank. And he was washing his hands and his face. And the river, you can imagine the river was effectively flowing. Imagine the river flowing in this direction. And he was washing his hands and face here. And he noticed that Sayyidina Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he came. And he started to perform wuzu further up the river. And he realized that his washing his hands and his face, the water that he was washing his hands and face in was flowing towards him. So he had this mindset and he thought to himself that I'm such a gunagar, I'm such a sinner, that I'm washing my dirty hands, I'm washing my dirty face, and the water is flowing towards this great pious person and he is performing wuzu. As soon as he saw this, he got up and he went down the river. He went past him out of respect. Out of respect for the great imam, he went past him and washed his hands further on down the river. Because he had this thought to himself that I don't want my dirty hands, the water coming off my dirty hands going towards this great scholar. And it said that this person, he was greatly rewarded. That when he passed away, someone saw him in a dream and asked him, how have you been dealt with? And he said, by the blessing of showing respect to Sayyidina Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Allah Azza wa Jalla has forgiven all the sins that I have. Unfortunately, we don't respect the ulama akram. We don't respect the scholars. We don't respect the imam sahab. We take them for granted. We do not realize the great status that they have. And the only example I can give you is, all the people in this room, the majority of the people that are in this room come from Pakistan or India. You know, when you go back to Pakistan or India, sometimes there's no water in the house. Sometimes no water's coming. Sometimes the electricity goes. And when the electricity goes in your house, yeah, for 1 hour, 2 hours, 4 hours, 8 hours, and the fan's not running and you're sweating, how happy are you when the electricity comes back on? How happy are you when finally there's water coming towards your house because for 3 days there's been no water? In this country, we take water for granted. In this country, we take electricity for granted. And it's only when we go to them places we realize how lucky we are that Allah has blessed us with electricity. How lucky we are that Allah has blessed us with water. But the problem is that until we go there, we don't realize how lucky we are that we have electricity. Until we go there, we don't realize how lucky we are that we have water. And until we lose the ulama-i ikram, we will not realize how lucky we are that we have the ulama-i ikram. These people have sacrificed their lives for us. Sacrifice great efforts in acquiring that knowledge of the deen. I know scholars that have only recently passed away, thus learned the knowledge of the deen for 23, 24 years. They could have done a degree. They could have been a doctor, they could have been a lawyer, they could have been a barrister, they could have been all these things. But they decided that this, learning the knowledge of the deen, is what we should do. And we need to learn to respect our elders, respect our scholars. I have a personal experience. I was traveling in Pakistan on a train. And Dawat Islami used to have an annual ishtama in Multan. It was a 3-day ishtama. And for three days, people from all around the world used to come to Multan for this ishtama. And I was traveling on a train to go to the ishtama. And those of you that have traveled on trains in Pakistan will see that you have the seats, the benches, and they're facing each other, yeah? And it was a long journey. 20, 22 hours, something like this on the train, yeah? And obviously you get tired when you're traveling. And so what we decided to do was, because there wasn't enough space for everybody to lie down, we decided that we put our feet straight. So my feet would be on the seat in front, and that person would have his feet next to me. So we'd all put our feet straight, so at least we could have a little bit of rest. So I put my feet up, and he put his feet up, and everybody put the feet up. And we all put our feet up, and we could all have a little bit of rest. But there was this young person next to me, and he wouldn't put his feet up. And I thought to myself, why aren't you doing this? You know, you're a young lad. I know you're a young lad. I know you're a strong lad, but it's a long journey. Everybody needs rest. And I kept on saying, put your feet up. It's a long... I said it 3 or 4 times, and he just wouldn't do it. He wouldn't put his feet up. And then the person opposite me smiled. And he said, Khalid bhai, he's not going to put his feet up because opposite him is his teacher. Opposite him is his teacher. And that's a respect for his teacher. He's not going to put his feet next to his teacher. He won't do it. This is the respect that people are taught to have for the teachers. But unfortunately, we don't have this respect. Allahu Akbar. There was a scholar called Sayyidina Sahal bin Abdullah, Ramadullah. He was a scholar himself. He was a saint himself. But whenever somebody asked him a question, he would never answer. He would never give a reply. And one day, when he was with all his students, he said to them, he was leaning against the wall, and he said, today ask me whatever you want. Ask me whatever you want and I will answer you. And people humbly said to him, Azur, you know, previously whenever we ask you a question, you would never answer it. You would go quiet. And now you're saying, ask me whatever you want, I'll give you the answer. And he said, previously, my teacher was alive. And whilst my teacher is alive, I'm not going to answer any questions. I'll refer all of my questions to my teacher. Today my teacher has passed away. Now I'll answer your questions. Now, knowledge of that his teacher had passed away, people didn't even know that his teacher had passed away at that moment in time. It wasn't like in them days there was WhatsApp where all of a sudden message goes and, oh, such and such scholar has passed away, such and such person has passed away, and everybody starts sending messages. Nobody knew. So his students, they wrote down the time on a piece of paper, recorded that, and they found out that his teacher had passed away 10 minutes before he said that. But until his teacher had passed away, out of respect, he would never answer any questions instead of his teacher. Allah Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ramutullahi Ta'ala stated, with regards to the respect of a teacher, that a student should never precede the teacher in conversation. If your teacher is speaking, you should remain silent. The student should not sit at the teacher's place. If the teacher, you know, has, like, I can see there's a cushion over there, maybe one of our teachers sits there. The student should never sit at the teacher's place out of respect for the teacher. Whilst walking, you should never walk ahead of your teacher. You should show the respect of your teacher. When spending on his teacher, he should never be miserly on his teacher. It means that whatever his teacher requires, the student should provide it for the teacher. The right of the teacher is such that it should also be the right, equivalent to the right of the parents as well, because this teacher, he is giving you the knowledge of the deen. And even if you only learned one ayat, one single word from a teacher, that you went to somebody, you learned one thing from him, then also respect him. Because that person taught you something. That person gave you some knowledge. And you should respect that person for this. It is said, Allah Hazrat went on to say that if a teacher is inside the house, you should not even knock on the door, you should wait for him to come out the house. Don't disturb your teacher, Allahu Akbar. The student should not let any trouble to be caused to his teacher. If the teacher receives any trouble from any student, then the student will be remain deprived of the blessings of knowledge. Allahu Akbar. This is the status of our teachers, of our ulama-i kiram. But do we respect them? Do we give them the respect that they are due? And unfortunately, when we look around, we don't. We take them for granted. In fact, I've seen many, many times that people speak to the ulama-i kiram, the scholars of the deen, in a derogatory term. They speak down to them. They look down at them. Why? Because he's not got a fancy car. Why? Because he's not got a big house. Why? Because he's not got a big bank balance. He's not got them because he sacrificed his life so that the deen can come to us. But we don't respect him. My dear Islamic brothers, in the same way, as we've said so far that we need to respect our mothers, we need to respect our fathers, we need to respect our elders, we also, as individuals, need to respect our elder brothers, our elder siblings as well. And our elder brothers need to show mercy to our youngsters as well. You need to learn between this, that the elder brothers, we need to give them that respect. If you have an elder brother, then your elder brother, you should give him the respect in the same way that you would give to your father as well. Because when your father goes, leave this dunya, he's the one that's going to be looking out for you. But the elder brother at the same time should not abuse this respect. I'm the elder brother now, you've got to do what I say. You've got to listen to everything I say. No, I've been here. It's a two-way relationship. Respect your elders, but your elders should show mercy to the youngsters as well. Respect your elders, but your elders should look after the youngsters as well. It is said, with regards to showing mercy to our youngsters, the one who does not have mercy on our young ones and does not respect our elders, he does not know the rights of the Muslim and he's not amongst us. It is a right of a Muslim to respect the elders. It is a right of a Muslim to show mercy to the youngsters as well. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, respect the elders, have mercy on the young ones, and I will come on the day of judgment like this. And he joined his fingers together. I will come to you like this on the day of judgment. If you have mercy on your youngsters and you respect your elders. Allahu Akbar. The same also goes for our close relatives as well. We need to respect our close relatives as well. Many people nowadays, they break relationship with their relatives over simple reasons. Oh, he didn't come to my wedding, so I don't want to know him. You know, he didn't give Mubarak when I had a child, so I don't want to know him. These are your relatives. And then relatives fall out with other relatives over a small portion of land. And they go to court cases and spend thousands and thousands of pounds over court cases over a small portion of land between two brothers, a brother and a sister. An uncle and an auntie, these relatives, they fall out with each other over what? Over monetary terms, over dunya basically. Over this world we're falling out with each other. So many people fall out with the brothers over little things. And they have the people say that, oh, if he's okay with me, then I'm okay with me. If he's good with me, I'll be good with him. If he's not good with me, I won't be good with him. This is not Islam. Islam doesn't teach you that if someone's good with you, be good with them. Islam doesn't teach you that if someone's bad with you, you be bad with them. Islam teaches you to be good with all your relatives. To keep this relationship together. And I see that with my elders, the elders that came to this country, they kept their relationship together. You know, if they found out that they had somebody from a village back home and he was a second, third cousin, really, really distant relative, they would still keep link with that person. They'd still go and see that person and keep a link with that person. But unfortunately, our generation, forget second, third, fourth cousin, we don't even go see our uncles, we don't even go see our aunties, we don't even go see our cousins, our first cousins. We don't even know who they are. Again, this is a loss to us. This Islam doesn't teach you this. Islam teaches you to keep these relationships together. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, and fear Allah in whose name you demand mutual rights, and be mindful of your blood relations. Indeed, Allah is observing you at all times. Your blood relations, your family, your distant relations, not just your relatives inside your four walls, you need to respect all of them as well. It is stated in Tanbihul Ghafilin that there are 10 benefits of treating relatives nicely. Number one, it brings about the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Number two, it is a means of pleasing people. Number three, it delights angels. Number four, it earns you praise from Muslims. Number five, it upsets shaitan. Number six, it increases one's lifespan. Number seven, it brings blessings in sustenance. Number eight, it pleases the deceased Muslim, i.e. the relatives of them people. And nine, it increases the affection amongst each other. And ten, it increases his reward after the person has passed away. My dear Islamic brothers, we need to learn to respect our elders. You know, there was a person, he said to me, that I don't even know the color of my father's eyes. And when I said to him, what do you mean? How do you not know the color of your father's eyes? He said, whenever I was in my father, I would always look down. I never looked at my father in his eyes to see what color his eyes were. Allah. Nowadays, forget looking at your father's eyes. We grip our father. Come in and listen to me. Our daughters, they hurt their mothers. Our brothers, they hurt sisters. Our sisters, they hurt their brothers. They abuse each other, physically and verbally. Forget saying, "Uff." Allah Azza wa Jalla says, don't even say, "Uff." We grab all of our and say, "Hey, Dad, come here, listen to me. I'm telling you what's right and what's wrong. I know what's right." I've heard stories of unfortunate people who hit their parents. I've heard stories of unfortunate people who pushed their mother and pushed their father. For what? You think you're something? You think you got strength? You think you got respect in this dunya? Wait until the day of judgment. Wait until that day, when that day comes, and you realize how tough you are. You realize how hard you are. You realize what mistakes you've made. We need to learn to respect our elders, my dear brothers. Our elders are not here forever. And trust me. Trust me on this, that the day your parents leave this dunya, you will regret it. The day your brother leaves this dunya, and for years you've not spoken to your brother over a minor trifle matter, over a piece of land, over the fact that he didn't invite you to a wedding, over the fact that he did not send you mutaya or did not do this, over a small matter, you broke relationships with your brother. When he passes away, you'll be crying. You'll be crying that day. Then tears are worthless. Then tears are worthless. Eat your pride. Islam teaches us to eat our pride and be humble. Forgive your brother. Forgive your sister. Forgive your younger brother, your younger sister. You might say, well, doesn't he know who I am? I'm elder than him. He should respect me. He should come to me. He should do this. He should do that. What difference does it make? If you go to your younger brother, if you go to your younger sister and seek forgiveness for them, and your elders, you should go to them. There's no question mark, should I or should I not? There is no question mark, should I go to my elders? Should I go and respect my father? Should I go and seek forgiveness from my father? No, there's no question mark. Seek forgiveness from your parents. Alhamdulillah, the people that are here today in this masjid are those people that have an attachment to the deen. In this masjid today are those people that ultimately want to attain paradise. Obviously. Otherwise, you would not be in the masjid today. You would not be here reading your namaz today. You would not be here attending this gathering because you have this need inside you that inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, I want to please Allah Azza wa Jal and I want to attain paradise. You're not going to attain paradise if your parents aren't happy with you. If you want to attain paradise, then get the pleasure of your parents. Honor your parents. Respect your parents. Honor your elders. Respect your elders. Honor your relatives. Respect your relatives. And show mercy. Show mercy to youngsters as well. My dear Islam brothers, I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal, if I said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah give me the ability to think about what I have said. You also the ability to think about what I have said. To act upon what we have said today. To act upon what we have learned today. And pass this message on to others as well. Ameen bi jahin nabi al-ameen. Sallu ala al-habib.
For you is my prayer, O Mubarak.